You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
3:04 in Eastern Iowa. Welcome in as the Gym Class takes it through the 3 o'clock hour here on 1600 ESPN. Great to have you aboard. Scott Unash with you. Andrew on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from his back porch on the southwest side. Got a good show for you coming up today. Rob Gray is going to join us, and we're going to talk Iowa State football and basketball. The Bowl-bound Cyclones with the win last weekend on the road in Provo, Utah against BYU. Big one against the Texas Longhorns. Final meeting for the foreseeable future between the Cyclones and the Horns. We'll talk about that and more with Rob Gray coming up in just a little bit. And plenty of other facets of college football to get to. We'll preview tonight's Gavitt game between Iowa and Creighton in front of 17,000 over in Omaha. We'll talk about that. It's a late night game on FS1 coming up this evening. That and a whole lot more here on 1600 ESPN, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well. And Andrew, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How you been?
I'm good. You?
Well, other than one thing that we did, I must say, and Mark and I both figured this out at the end of the program, maybe it was subconsciously yesterday that we didn't get to the Emil's Hideaway pick six and the results.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let Mark explain that.
Yeah.
In a moment. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, guys. Good afternoon, everyone. And frankly, there's a damn good reason we didn't get to it, or Scott didn't get to it.
Yeah,
Scott was 0-6. And started texting me late Saturday afternoon and could see it coming. He was 0-6, but it's rare. Scott's had a good year. Spencer is the weekly winner, which translates to a listener winner of a $30 gift card. Dave was 4-2. I was 2-4. Going into this Friday's picks, Dave and Spencer tied for the season lead at 36-30.
Awesome. And I am not. Hey, well, Isaac's going to get a hold of our winner tomorrow. So if you already know that you had Spencer as your picker for the weekend, yeah, you got a $30 gift card from Emil's Hideaway coming your way in just a little bit. So, yeah, congratulations. And we'll find out who that particular listener is coming up on the program tomorrow. As I mentioned, Rob Gray is going to join us coming up in a little bit. We'll start things off, Mark, with Kirk Ferentz and his weekly visit with the media today in Iowa City. Players as well as Iowa getting ready for the Fighting Illini of Brett Bielema and Illinois. Senior day, always a bittersweet day. That is a direct quote from Kirk Ferentz in his news conference earlier on today. And it was a very upbeat news conference today. Why wouldn't it be with the Big Ten Western Division Championship already at least a tie for it locked in?
Yeah, that's what it was today. And every year, seniors parade in front of the home crowd with their parents and whatnot to be acknowledged. And 20 this year, around 20 anyway. But I thought Kirk had some real interesting tidbits and stories about some of those guys. Certainly Quinn Schulte out of Xavier talking about his family, his dad being a coach, Joe Evans coming to Iowa as a walk-on out of Ames, Torrey Taylor from the other side of the world, Kyler Fisher, another walk-on who now is a starter, and even Jay Higgins, who has had a tremendous year at linebacker. I enjoyed those little tidbits and side stories from Kirk today. In news, Torrey Taylor the punter is going to forego his senior year and head for the NFL. And interestingly, I thought Kirk, in his opening statements, really unprovoked by a question, talked about the replay system and said it was flawed.
Yeah. Well, hey, yeah, we all know that. 319-366-1600. That is a text line. That is the phone line as well. 319-366-1600. If you would like to weigh in, love to hear from our listeners here each and every day on the Gym Class, as well as all our local programs. Spencer on Sports follows us from 4 until 6 o'clock. And then tomorrow morning, catch the Todd Brommelkamp Show from 6:30 a.m. until 9. And should mention as well, we've got Cyclone Coaches Show for you tonight from 6:30 until 8. And then we throw it over to college basketball from ESPN. We'll have the back half of the big doubleheader tonight, the Champions Classic. We will have, I believe, Kansas and Kentucky going at it tonight. The early game is Michigan State and Duke. We may catch the back half of that, but more than likely it'll be all of the Kansas and Kentucky game coming up on the first big night of college basketball. We will get to that coming up in just a little bit. We did find out, you mentioned Torrey Taylor, and I don't think anybody is shocked by the fact that he made it publicly known today that this is going to be his last appearance at Kinnick Stadium. He's 26 years old. Keep that in mind. And Torrey Taylor needs to get to the NFL ASAP as quickly as he can. And so he had another year of eligibility, and his stock isn't going to rise a whole lot further than it is right now, as far as punting, Mark?
No, it'd be a huge void to fill next year, and we're probably getting ahead of ourselves here, but Taylor's been a godsend, obviously, for this football team, for the specialty teams. 2 weeks ago, he had just a so-so game, but responded last weekend with averaging about 48 yards a punt. And I don't have to tell listeners out there what he's meant to complement the defense and, you know, setting up Iowa for success on that end.
Yeah. 5418 says, could tell today, Kirk is a nice guy. We have always known Kirk's a pretty good guy. 7148 letting us know, yes, and I heard this on Spencer's show yesterday. Iowa State getting home in the wee hours of the morning. Not even the wee hours, 7 o'clock Sunday morning. They got home from BYU. Thank you for the follow-up, 7148. Do appreciate that. Also learned, of course, there is a possibility, perhaps, at least I think Quinn Schulte left it on the table, that he is at least thinking about coming back for his super senior COVID season, however you want to put it. Certainly that would be a plus for the Iowa secondary. That would be a big win if Iowa can keep Wampa and Quinn Schulte back there next year. And, you know, Quinn will talk it over with his family, et cetera, and come up with the best decision for him. But I wouldn't mind seeing number 30 back there again next year.
No, I wouldn't either. He's a solidified part, you know, been one of those players to solidify that defense. And he got a floater of an interception Saturday, and that was nice to see. Nearly returning for a touchdown. But, yeah, Kirk referenced this being the last year of cycling through the COVID year. And I'm not going to miss it. I thought it was ridiculous to institute it in the first place. It certainly, you know, benefited us a lot of players. But I'm going to be glad when you don't have to keep track of this, and I have a hard time doing so.
Yeah, I've kind of lost track of it, as a matter of fact. But you're right. After this year, that goes away, and the folks that were around get that one more year. And then it'll be 4 or 5 years or 3 years or 2 years to 3 years to play 2 years. Who knows? Back to the old great days of trying to figure out eligibility at that time. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh in on what Kirk Ferentz had to say today as Iowa gets ready for as our good friend John Campbell always affectionately calls them, the pumpkin heads coming to Kinnick. Of course, you can't say that, you know, in sure certainty anymore, because we don't know if Illinois is going to come over with orange helmets or not, because you had three or four of them now.
Yeah, and John would never say that in front of Denny Frary, right?
Oh, he did a million times.
Did he?
Denny Frary, Illinois' number one backer. Probably number two behind his mother. But, yeah, the Frary's always right there as far as Illinois athletics are concerned. And what a good one Denny was and still is. 3:15 here on the program on a Tuesday here in Eastern Iowa. 319-366-1600. Iowa basketball in action. As we mentioned, Mark, this is the first really big night of college basketball. We had two of the Gavitt games last night. That continues with three more games tonight between the Big Ten and the Big East. You got the Champions Classic coming up tonight as well. So this is the first real headlining night for college hoops in 2023 and 2024. And looking back to last night, if you did not get a chance to see it, Michigan topping St. John's with, I think, more ease than a lot of people thought at Madison Square Garden last night. The excuse train was already on the tracks from Rick Pitino afterwards, who said, what do you expect with all a roster of brand-new players? Hello, Rick. You can't have it both ways, buddy. You can't use the portal and then complain that you have all new players. Sorry. Michigan played really well last night.
Yeah, I thought they did. They ran the court very well, and St. John's has a nice center, from what I saw, a really good player. But by and large, I thought Michigan, without its head coach, certainly an experienced assistant leading the way, but I thought it looked good. Caught a little bit of Purdue, and Purdue was Purdue, I think. And Xavier, I think we'd both agree, a little better than what we thought, with so many Nunji and others leaving. But you're right. Tonight is going to be a super interesting night, and probably capped, I guess, with Iowa and Creighton.
Yeah, that is the final game in the Gavitt games of the three coming up this evening. We'll get to the others here in just a little bit, but it is going to be a test, certainly, for the Hawkeyes against the 8th-rated Creighton Blue Jays and Greg McDermott. Of course, these two teams, you would think they would meet a lot more than they do, but that is not the case. They have not met in 13 years, and it's going to be a hostile environment. I think that I think Fran McCaffrey is okay with that. I think he wants to see what this team can do in front of 16,000, 17,000, whatever that place holds over in Omaha. It is going to be a hostile environment, but it's going to be a challenge, but I think Iowa matches up decently with Creighton. The Blue Jays got some terrific, terrific players. They've got a terrific 6'4 guard in Trey Alexander, who leads the Blue Jays in scoring. And they've got Baylor Shireman, who's a good shooter, 16 points per ball game, local kid out of there. And then they got a 7'1 outside shooter in Ryan Kalkbrenner. And also have a kid getting his first real playing time, and that's Mason Miller, who is a second-year guy. And is going to help this team. But it's a very veteran Creighton team. It's not a real athletic Creighton team. They can shoot it very, very well. They've got a brand-new point guard out of Utah State. That was one of the top point guards in the portal that Coach McDermott brought in. But it's not a team that's going to run by you. I think that's going to be the type of team that is going to really give Iowa fits. We'll see. But call me crazy, I'm not predicting a win or anything like that, especially after an 0-6 weekend, but I think Iowa can match up with Creighton a little bit.
I'll be very interested to see. You know, I as much as a challenge as it is for Iowa, and it certainly is, playing the number 8 team in the country and and on the road, hostile crowd and whatnot, that presents a challenge. But I think Greg McDermott is looking at this as a, if not a challenge, a measuring stick for his team. Creighton has played Florida A&M and North Dakota State. Not exactly juggernauts in the college football world, or college basketball world, I should say. So I think it's a good test for both teams in different regards.
I would agree on that. What are your thoughts? Late night with the Hawks. It was late night with the Cyclones on Saturday night for football. It's late night with the Iowa men's basketball team coming up tonight, a 9:05 start over in Omaha. And they may even push that back a little bit if the preceding game takes there are actually two preceding games. 5 o'clock, Wisconsin will take on Providence without Ed Cooley. Keep in mind, he is now at Georgetown. But Providence 2-0, Wisconsin at 1-1. 7 o'clock, Marquette and Illinois from Champaign. That is going to be a good one. Shaka Smart's got a really veteran and a good Marquette team that a lot of people are pointing that they could get to the Final Four this year. That remains to be seen. So those are the games tonight and the Gavitt games. Also tonight, mentioned Michigan State will start things up in the Champions Classic against the Duke Blue Devils this evening. Penn State will take on the Red Flash of St. Francis tonight. And Western Michigan will take on Northwestern coming up this evening. And that Duke-Michigan State game, as well as the game we'll have for you here on 1600 ESPN, will be in Chicago. Those two games coming up this evening. 3:21 here on a Tuesday here in Eastern Iowa. Matt in Fairfax, it'll be good to give these young guys a true test. Never want to lose, but if they keep it close and lose, I think it'll be a good building block for conference play. Speaking of Iowa, and speaking of conference play, John Rothstein does such a great job covering college basketball, reporting today. The Big Ten meetings going on today as far as future basketball schedules. Will the Big Ten conference schedule expand from its present 20 to 22 with the new schools from the West, USC, UCLA, Washington, and Oregon coming in next year? My guess is that it probably will go to 22, Mark.
I have no idea, and frankly, I'm focused on this year.
I would agree. But it's always good to talk about those things like that, because that's gonna eliminate a couple of those cupcake games, at least one of those cupcake games, from the schedule for Big Ten teams. And I think the same could be said for the Big 12 as well. And speaking of the Big 12, we're going to talk to Rob Gray of Cyclone Fanatic and also of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We'll talk to him coming up in just a little bit. And, of course, Iowa State football in action coming up on Saturday night against Texas. We'll have it for you at 5 o'clock with the pregame show. One of the great sponsors of Cyclone Athletics, Lisa Nolan Real Estate, a lifelong Cyclone fan, realtor Lisa Nolan, a Cardinal sponsor for Iowa State football and men's and women's basketball this season, and that will begin at 5 o'clock coming up on Saturday. Iowa State taking on the Texas Longhorns. We're going to get an Emil Sideways scoreboard update for you coming up in just a little bit, and then we will talk to Rob Gray. Wanted to get to this yesterday, Mark. Jimbo Fisher, of course, shown the door in College Station as the head football coach at Texas A&M. He was the latest who was brought in by a program to, quote-unquote, one of my favorites, if not my favorite in all of sports, to take our program to the next level. Well, did not work. Found out very quickly that the SEC West is not the ACC, and you're not playing Wake Forest and Boston College each and every week. You're playing the Alabamas and the LSUs and the Ole Misses and sometimes the Georgias and et cetera, et cetera. We'll see who's going to be the replacement down there. But the big story is the buyout for Jimbo Fisher, Mark. $75 million that Texas A&M boosters gladly turned over to Jimbo Fisher so that he will not coach football anymore for the Aggies. down at Kyle Field. Let that sink in for a moment. 75 million. Isaac's laughing. Or Isaac.
Isaac.
Andrew is.
Wow.
Wow. I'm sorry. I looked over there and it's dark and I. First thing. You're laughing.
I'm laughing because I wish like somebody would come buy my spot out and pay me $75,000.
Million.
Or $75 million to do this.
Million.
That's ridiculous.
Mark, $75 million is more than the athletic budget in 1 year at the University of Northern Iowa.
Well, it's more than the budget for many schools. I mean, according to Front Row Sports, Fisher is, they're going to pay it out this way. $19.4 million within 60 days. An additional $7.27 in the first 120 days. And then for 7 years thereafter, through 2031, $7.27 million each and every year. Bobby Bonilla approves. In addition to that, it's Texas A&M's assistants. Many of them have buyouts as well. I mean, I know there's a lot of oil money in Texas, probably not as much as there used to be. But my goodness, like Andrew said, ridiculous.
You want to know? Go ahead.
$75 million. And one of the most surprising aspects of this is that the A&M brass met Thursday prior to last Saturday's big win over Mississippi State and made the decision 2 days before that particular game. And finally, meanwhile, Arizona has announced a $240 million school-wide shortage, and which is going to affect athletics as well. Man, oh, man.
It's the haves and the have-nots. And if you're wondering how in the world can, oh, let's just throw out two programs. Let's just throw them out. Iowa and Iowa State. How in the world, when you see on social media, when we get texts, when we get calls, why can't Iowa take it, unquote, to the next level? Iowa State, why can't they take it to the next level? This is why they can't take it to the next level. There's no equity. The Cyclones and the Hawkeyes cannot compete with $75 million buyouts. I mean, what is the Kirk Ferentz buyout right now, Mark?
About $40 million, I believe.
And that is high. That is high because Kirk has been around for over a quarter of a century. I guarantee you Matt Campbell's is not that high. But keep that in mind the next time that you're complaining about your favorite football team or favorite basketball team or whatever the case may be. Schools have tried to take it to the next level many, many times, including one 20 miles to the south in basketball about 20 years ago. That did not go real well, getting rid of a good coach. It's not as easy as it sounds out there, and it is not a level playing field. And we complain about the NCAA an awful lot, and I am the chief person that complains about the NCAA a whole ton. But they've got a tough job to do. They got a tough, tough job to do. 319-366-1600.
It isn't a playing field in many respects. NIL now coming into being. And, Fisher was one of the highest paid coaches in college football. People complain about Kirk Ferentz's $7 million salary. He's 20th in the country. 20th at $7 million a year. And I'm sorry, folks, money oftentimes does not buy success in championships. Fisher won a national championship at Florida State. It didn't translate to A&M. And now they're out $75+ million.
Which is probably, if you get enough people together that have the wherewithal to take care of that tab, probably a drop in the bucket. Oh, man. Big time college athletics getting bigger and bigger, but You talked about the separation between the top and the bottom, or even the middle. It's going to grow and grow even more. We're seeing it grow and grow even more. 3:29 here on the Gym Class. We're going to get to Rob Gray. We're going to get to an Evil Sideway scoreboard update in just a little bit. Yeah, 13:45, equating it to the pro game. Just look at Jerry Jones. Further proof that you are right, Mark. Money isn't always everything. Cowboys are pretty good this year, though.
They haven't won a championship in how many years?
Been a while. They're going to have to get by the Eagles to do that first. And Eagles-Chiefs next Monday night, by the way. We'll have it for you right here on 1600 ESPN. Should be a whale of a football game from Kansas City. Going to talk to Rob Gray coming up here after Mark gives us an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Open at 4 o'clock Monday through Sunday. Huge range of burgers and fries are made fresh daily, plus salads, pizza, pasta, and soup. Great sandwiches, all kinds of great menu items that they have over at Emil's. Check them out online at emilshideaway.com. And what do we have on the scoreboard today?
In Major League Baseball, Pat Murphy has been elevated from bench coach to replace Craig Counsell as manager of the Milwaukee Brewers. College baseball fans might recognize him, having coached at Notre Dame and USC previously. During halftime of Friday night's 5A state championship high school football game, four former Hawkeyes will be inducted into the IHSAA Football Hall of Fame. They are Dan Dickel, James Morris, Lon Olenzak, and Mark Sindlinger. Kirkwood's women's basketball team, no surprise here, is ranked number one in the Junior College Division II poll, which came out today. Speaking of polls, National Wrestling Coaches Association has placed Iowa at number three behind Penn State and North Carolina State. Iowa State 10th, UNI 15th, and certainly more on this and other wrestling items with Mark Ironside tomorrow during the Gym Class.
Yep, first time we'll have Mark with us. Looking forward to that. Yeah, really good Hall of Fame class going in from the Iowa High School Athletic Association. And as you mentioned, dotted with former Hawkeyes. And good to see Mark Sindlinger get in. Two sport stars in there. And yeah, we were talking about Olenzak and his penny. And look what happens. He gets into the Hall of Fame. How about that?
Surprised he wasn't in already.
Should have been in. But, man, there have been so many good players over the years, coaches, et cetera, et cetera. A couple of officials will be going in there as well on Friday night up at the Uni Dome. 0-8-3-5, before we get to a break here, a consistent 8-9 win Iowa looks pretty good when you see these big names get fired. Grass isn't always greener. I would agree with that. We'll take a break, come back, and we're going to talk to Rob Gray of Cyclone Fanatic and the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Talk a little Iowa State football and basketball with you when we come back.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we're going to have some clouds passing through this afternoon, and temperatures are going to be in the low to mid 60s. As we head into tonight, it will still be breezy and we will have a few clouds lingering, but temperatures will just drop down to a low around 40. Tomorrow we'll have more sunshine, temperatures a bit warmer in the mid 60s, and then we'll have temperatures remaining in the 60s on Thursday as a cold front moves in. Some clouds will build in and it will get breezy once again. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Oh my, OAR.
That was a crazy game of poker. I see you in the back.
Live in concert.
I lost it all.
Summer Tour 24.
I want you, I want me, I want me.
September 4th, McGrath Amphitheater. With special guests, Wright and DJ Logic. Tickets on sale Friday at noon at creventslive.com. Don't miss OAR Live.
Choose family.
Choose friends.
Choose your community.
Choose local.
Choose local this holiday season. For gifts or food, a deserving charity, or a place to keep your nest egg. When you buy from, invest in, or donate to businesses here in the corridor, you help keep our community strong and vibrant.
Choose local. This message proudly presented by Ice Designer Cakes in Marion, FSB, your local banking experts, Marion Guns and Gold Pawn Shop, and 1600 ESPN.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection continues through December 8th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Stay ahead of the game with the WagerWise podcast on kgymradio.com. Presented by Betfred Sportsbook.
3:35 back with you on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM. Cyclone Coaches Show comes your way tonight from 6:30 until 8 o'clock. And then we will have ESPN Radio's coverage of the Champions Classic game number two, maybe the end of game number one. We'll see. Game one is Michigan State and Duke. Game number two, the number one rated Kansas Jayhawks taking on Kentucky. And a guy probably watching that game to see how Kansas is. Our next guest, and that's Rob Gray. Covers the Iowa State Cyclones for Cyclone Fanatic and, of course, for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And a happy bunch of Cyclones. Rob, I would imagine, bowl eligible now after a big win over in Provo in the mountains on Saturday night.
Yeah, hi, Scott, and good to join you as always. It was one of those games where BYU hasn't been great this year. They're really the Cougars are really banged up. I don't think their depth is where it needs to be, as a Big 12 team now. But still a place that's tough to win. And Iowa State, got the two turnovers early, got up two scores, and besides that one shaky drive from a defensive perspective, just pulled away with that one and took away any suspense, obviously, with two really tough games. Coming up against number 7 Texas and on the road to Kansas State. Bowl eligible already, and obviously they're looking to do more.
Yeah, Rob, talk about the rushing game, which was sensational against BYU, led by Abu Sama. Really three guys that can get it done, maybe more. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think there were some maybe questions about the offensive line going into the season, but it's become very productive.
Oh, absolutely, Mark. I kind of, it's a perennial question, the offensive line at Iowa State. They've had their struggles, and obviously they had their struggles, particularly running the ball early this season. But they've got to figure it out. I think, with young running backs, Eli Sanders is a sophomore. Got banged up early in the season, so you had to turn to another sophomore, Cartavius Norton, who's been banged up a lot. And then, as you mentioned, Abu Usama, the Southeast Pole track star phenom, has come in and newcomer of the week after his 2-touchdown performance, 8 rushes, 110 yards. They've really figured things out. And I think the offensive line is getting more comfortable with new offensive line coach Ryan Clanton's scheme up front, the zone blocking scheme, and you're seeing that again against the BYU defense. It's both banged up and hasn't been very good, but they've also flashed at times first half against Oklahoma, throughout the Big 12 slate, that shows that that line is improving definitely. And those running backs, particularly those top three, and you throw in Carson Hansen as well, a true freshman, they feel really good about that group as well.
Yeah, and I think feel good about Rocco Becht as well. And
as well as the other sophomores, you throw in some freshmen in there. This is a very young team. And I was going to ask you, going back to week three in Athens, Ohio, coming off a loss to Ohio University, I don't think anybody was thinking bowl at that point, but now you have a bowl bid in your back pocket. You could do more, as you mentioned. You're going to have 20 more practices with a very young football team. All that, very positive news for Matt Campbell and Iowa State.
No, absolutely, Scott. And coming out of that Ohio game, it looked like it was going to be a replay of last season, other than the fact that they started, just in terms of they had a better start in the non-conference record overall last season, obviously, but it just could not get anything going. No push up front. That was their poorest rushing game of the season. Insisted on trying to establish the run and not kind of spread the field. And we saw that shift when Big 12 play started. They spread the field more. Got Rocco going with the short passing game, which opened up a lot of things, including the run game, with that win against Oklahoma State. And, 5-2 in the Big 12 now. They'd like to have that Kansas game back where, a pick six was kind of the difference in that game. But, Rocco has been efficient, and that's what you want. 15 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, even better ratio than that in Big 12 play. And he's making decisions quickly. He's making the right decisions, and he's running the ball a little bit more to help move the chains. They've been really good on third down lately, and I think that that's one of the reasons that they've been on somewhat of a roll minus the Kansas hiccup.
Rob, as Becht has solidified his position as number one quarterback, questions naturally come, well, what about J.J. Cole? What's his future? And we know injuries happen. And one kid feels differently than the other. But what do you've talked to him. What do you think his longevity is? As long as Beck continues what he's doing, Cole's longevity in Ames.
Yeah, we can't talk to him as a true freshman, Campbell's rule, but certainly talked to him prior to coming. He was excited, obviously, to come to Iowa State. His father, Jamie, was a kicker with the Cyclones and obviously a highly touted guy, 4-star, borderline top 10 by some recruiting services type of quarterback. And I guess it depends on a number of factors. I mean, if he wants to play a lot more quickly, then he's going to be looking to go elsewhere. I mean, you saw today Texas announced, or Quinn Ewers announced, that he's going to come back for his junior season next year. And then all the questions are, well, is the number one overall quarterback prospect of this last class, Arch Manning, going to jump? So it's a matter of, the one thing I would say about JJ is they were splitting snaps coming out of fall camp. So presumably that means that he came really close to winning the starting job over Rocco. I feel like if he considers it to still be close, why not try to do it again for next season? But, in this day and age with the transfer portal and obviously guys want to play, your guess is as good as mine. But it feels like, given he's a legacy guy, he might take a shot at trying to unseat Rocco as well as he's played this season. A lot can change in the offseason.
Yeah. Iowa State in Texas, another night game, not 9:15 or 9:25 by the time it finally kicked off, which is good. But it seems like there's been a string of night games. Not a bad deal, but Iowa State always seems to get up for Texas. Everybody gets up for Texas. This is going to be the last meeting for some time, for the foreseeable future anyway. Iowa State, what kind of shot do they have, and what do the Cyclones need to do to have another big nighttime upset of a team looking at a college football playoff?
Well, they've got a shot, but they have to play. The recipe for success that they've, that they've rediscovered in their cookbook, so to speak, has to be followed. Pretty much turnover-free football, while also turning the opponent over. If you establish some kind of running game, and that might be done via the passing game, loosening things up, and don't get beat on big plays. And special teams needs to continue to be great. And that's one of the biggest differences with the Cyclones this year. Chase Contreras is automatic now as a field goal kicker. Tyler Perkins is already a good punter. We're still seeing that, and they're getting a lot out of the return game too. And Noel's one of the best, if not the best, in the Big 12 in terms of kickoff return average. So, you know, the same tried and true thing. Campbell always talks about precision and detail, and they've got to be spot on in those areas, you know, the so-called quote-unquote margins, in order to have a chance. But Vegas, they open Texas up as an 8-point favorite. And Texas has been vulnerable to comebacks lately, and they're certainly vulnerable on the back end of their defense, where they've given up, I think they're ranked 106th nationally. Now, part of it has a function of teams coming back on them after Texas gets big leads, so they have to give up more passing yards by virtue of that. But they've got a great shot as long as they play really well. And if they don't, if they play like they did against Kansas, if they play like they did even against Baylor, it's probably going to be a pretty long night at Jackrabbit Stadium.
Early in the basketball season, the Cyclones 3-0. Who have you been impressed with in particular? Is it Milan Momcilovic or Tamen Lipsey's overall game or somebody else?
Yeah, I think it's a number of guys. Momcilovic, his shooting stroke is, you know, the quick release, the high release, the way he can get it off. But the kind of fadeaway step back, so reminiscent of, you know, I grew up a Celtics fan. It reminds me of Larry Bird. Some people it reminds of Dirk Nowitzki. You know, just been outstanding from three. Again, great on those fadeaways. It's a great feel for the game on the offensive end of the floor, and the defensive end is coming for him. But Keyshawn Gilbert, the transfer from UNLV, who T.J. Altsberger recruited there before leaving that program, his energy has been extremely impressive. I mean, he's diving for loose balls against Lindenwood in the first half and getting raspberries, strawberries on his elbows and knees doing that. And he's also a extremely efficient scorer and can get to the rim really well. And, you know, Tamen Lipsey's improvements, he didn't shoot it great the last game, but he was shooting it great from three before that, something they need from him. The play in the front court, Trey King, Son Ward's made some game-changing, you know, has made a big turnaround in coming back. I feel like there are a number of guys that have been pressed. Now, again, against teams who are near the bottom or near the bottom in the KenPom ratings and all that type of stuff, teams that aren't going to have very successful seasons. But the way I see it's blowing them out versus years past, you know, they weren't doing that against teams like this the first couple of years when they were more offensively challenged. So that's the key for Iowa State. Keep that defense pressure up, that part, that identity part of their team, and, you know, have a lot more skilled options on the offensive end of the floor.
What I have seen so far and what others have written and talked about is what you just mentioned there to close that statement, and that is the offense. In years past, it was games in the 60s and the 70s, and now you're seeing 80s, over 100 against Lindenwood. Iowa State does not have to rely on that defense, and, you know, it's not quite you're living on that edge, at least against these teams. We understand that these are not great teams, probably not going to be challenged until Orlando coming up next week, but it's still good to see the ball go into the basket because that has been a problem for Iowa State.
Oh, a huge problem. I mean, you just go back to first round of the NCAA tournament last year, could not score to save their lives, got in a big hole against Pitt and managed, 41 points in a blowout loss after reaching the Sweet 16 with an even more offensively challenged team, arguably, in T.J. Altsberger's first season. But they had an Isaiah Brockington. They didn't have that last year. They've got a number of guys, the transfers, and I mentioned Gilbert, but Curtis Jones they really like. He went through, been through a bit of a shooting slump, but he's done a lot of other good things. And Jackson Pawlecki hasn't played a whole lot yet, but they really like him. Transferred out of Welford. And Tamen Lipsey, much was made about him taking the offseason to really, really work on his long-range shot. And so far, the overall numbers are way up. So, and then again, you've got options like Trey King. Hassan Ward's better at finishing in the paint. They've still got Robert Jones energy off the bench. I mean, just a very deep team with a lot more options to score the basketball and avoid the long scoring droughts that have plagued them at times in each of the first two seasons under Altsberger.
Yeah, and we are still waiting, I think, and everybody's kind of waiting for the Omaha Bulu breakout game. It seems to me he's just pressing really hard right now to have that big game. It's going to come.
Yeah, and I mean, he's made some really impressive plays, whether it be a dunk or a play on the defensive end. I mean, just it's weird to think the guy who's that, you know, thought of that highly and rightfully so, in terms of stars, in terms of you know, playing with Team USA and all that stuff, but he's still kind of a project. And last game I was at, Lindenwood saw him out earlier than anyone, but just putting up three-pointer after three-pointer. I don't know if he's attempted one in the game. It hasn't been much. And he's played in fits and starts, but you see the athleticism, you see the drive that he has. Coach Otzelberger said, I believe it was on media day early in the season, he told him he doesn't want anything handed to him. He wants to earn every single thing he gets. And that's an impressive mentality, I think, for a freshman who's been told how good he is, because he is that good, for a long time. So, yeah, there will be a breakout game of some sort. And until then, I guess the idea is just to keep grinding and see where he fits rotation-wise.
Well, Scott, your last question was my last, so proceed.
Sorry. It's great minds think alike.
How about that?
Right there. Should mention Bill Fenley's team before we let you go here. Tell you what, thank God the women's basketball team still have the games against all the other in-state competition, because it helps. It helps everybody. Drake's a good team, and they've shot it well on Sunday. And I think Bill Fenley's team is still trying to find out their identity at this point, with all kinds of brand-new faces out there. And we'll see, anyway, how things develop. Audie Crooks so far has had two really good games, has not played the tallest groups yet, but that will come down the line.
Yeah, I mean, she just gives them a completely different presence down low. I mean, she's able to get set and go to work. She can go off like she did against Drake, 23 points, I believe. That game probably epitomized what this team's going to be like, with so many freshmen playing, you know, with a, you know, all Big 12 point guard Emily Ryan out for the foreseeable future because of what they've deemed a health-related issue. And, you know, they had a terrible second quarter. They didn't score a field goal, fell behind by as many as 20 points. They come out in third looking like a completely different team, drilling five threes, much more active on the defensive end. And they actually took a lead early in the fourth quarter before kind of ran out of gas and missed some shots. And Drake was able to ice it and win by 12 with some late free throws. But the team is going to play hard. I think that's the identity Fenley wants. And then since many of these players are skilled but young, they're going to be nights of hard knocks, and they're going to be nights that they're like, wow, this team really has something. But a lot of going back and forth probably in terms of those two situations.
Yep, and it's good still to see. I wish the men would play Drake and you and I, but I know I don't want to get the text line going on that because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen anytime soon. Percentage of that you see, the percentage of Iowa State winning against Texas on Saturday night before we let you go.
Ooh, again, so much hinges on the way they play, but given they've played mostly clean football, I mean, their turnover margin is excellent this season after struggling in that area. If they play like they're capable of, and not even a great game, I think this is a four-quarter game. But they can't – well, maybe they can fall behind, because Texas almost blew two big leads or sizable leads against TCU and Kansas State. But I feel like a fast start is necessary. So percentage-wise, 25 to 35, depending. I think they've got a real shot, but a lot has to go the Cyclones' way for sure.
Yeah. Well, maybe it'll be an Oklahoma State all over again. You never know.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, Rob, thanks for talking, taking the time. Keep up the great work, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Yep, great to talk to you guys.
You bet. Rob Gray covers the Iowa State Cyclones for Cyclone Fanatic and for the Gazette. And Big thanks to him for jumping on board with us today. We'll take a break, come back, wrap things up after this.
Menards 11% sale ends Thanksgiving Day. Update your flooring with help from Shaw. From soft and luxurious carpet to durable laminate flooring or waterproof vinyl plank, Shaw has a stylish option for you that will stand up to life's everyday demands. Citadel vinyl plank flooring is only $229 per square foot after 11% rebate. Stores close Thanksgiving, but 11% off remains in effect on Menards.com. Savings are mail-in rebates. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back. The sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good, solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit MFAM.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue, Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Back to wrap things up at 3:55 on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Spencer on Sports coming your way next. By the way, Mark, before we get too far into getting ahead of ourselves as far as basketball, should mention this. Congratulations going out to Jake Hilmer, the former Northland star, now at Upper Iowa. He has been named the National Division II Player of the Week. He's averaging only 34.5 points per ball game for the 2-0 Upper Iowa, or no, I'm sorry, 1-1 Upper Iowa Peacocks. So Jake can score the ball. He's pretty good at that.
Always been able to do that. Terrific high school career and continuing that in college.
Yeah, for the Upper Iowa Peacocks up there in Fayette. Tomorrow, Mark Ironside will join us here in studio. We'll talk college wrestling with the Hall of Famer, and then Chris Liss will answer your fantasy football questions. And we'll also start the program talking a little bit about Iowa and Creighton. I think the Hawks take it for about 30 minutes, but this is a tall task tonight, Mark.
Yeah, it is. Creighton shoots it very well. Great coach and Greg McDermott. And 9 o'clock, appointment viewing for me.
All right. Are you going to be able to stay up? That's the bigger question.
Yeah, this is not a football game. In a couple hours, I can handle.
All right. Mark will stay up and watch the game. You have his word on that. Spencer on Sports coming away next right here on KGYM. As we have for you tonight at 6:30, the Cyclone Coaches Show, followed by the Champions Classic from Chicago. We'll have, for sure, game two for you. That'll be Kansas and Kentucky. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3. Spencer on Sports coming your way next, right here on 1600 ESPN.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a click away. We offer convenient options for you to get your parts, tools, etc.